Another game where people who do important things take a break from that and do something unimportant. So Sam Cass was working as a private chef in Chicago when one of his clients got a new job. So he moved with that client to Washington, D.C., where he now cooks in a large building with an oval office, a rose garden, and a tiny little kitchen. He is the first family's personal chef at the White House and an important part of the First Lady's Healthy Food Initiative. Sam Cass, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Let me get the story right. You had been working in restaurants in Chicago. You started your own private chef business, mm-hmm. and you were working for the Obamas when he was still a state senator. Is that right, or not quite back that far?
No, I was helping out the first lady, during the campaign a little bit, and was lucky enough to get the invitation to come here.
And so, describe your duties at the White House then.
I have a couple roles at the White House. So I've been helping the first lady on her Let's Move initiative, trying to ensure that our kids grow up healthy.
Yep.
Really important work for the future of our country, and that started with a garden on the South Lawn, and so I've been also good. And so I've had the honor of helping her with that, and then in the evenings I go to cook dinner.
Does it ever get a little bit boring cooking healthy food? I mean,
not if you get to cook out of that garden.
Yeah.
It's always.
Oh yeah, because you actually, how much of the produce from the garden do you use?
Everything gets used. So every night I get to go down there. We grow year round, so I'm going down there nearly every day.
I never thought the day would come, especially in the early 21st century, when the president of the United States' family dinner would depend on that day's harvest.
Hey, you know, we're coming full circle.
Kind of survivalist moment, isn't it?
I just imagine the first lady going to the kids, "I'm sorry, there were locusts reading. Tonight you go hungry."
Yeah. Are there ever deer on the South Lawn? That would be kind of cool.
That's why we have Secret Service down there.
I understand.
They take good care.
They got those guys in unconvincingly clean overalls talking into their sleeves going, "We got a squirrel, we have a squirrel."
Yeah. It works out pretty well for us.
But a lot of those agents are distracted sometimes.
That's
true. That only happened once.
Only happened. In the garden, only by the ladybugs.
So I imagine that whole issue of healthy food in the White House could be an issue. I mean, because obviously Mrs. Obama is very, very big advocate for healthy eating, but she's got two young daughters. I have young daughters. Do they ever like knock on your door in the middle of the night going, "Sam, give me a Pop-Tart"? I won't tell her if you won't.
That's one of the many reasons I don't live in the White House.
I understand.
I don't mean to be rude, but do you ever sometimes wish that you could cook for Governor Chris Christie? I mean, that would like... you could do anything you'd want to do. Like, it's zebra! Yeah.
An entire one!
A rhino kebab!
I'm not sure I have the skill set for...
Really? No, probably not. I want you to confirm something I read once, which is that, despite what you may think, the president gets free boarding, we know that, but he has to pay, or his family has to pay for his own food. If it's not like a state occasion or an official occasion, like, he pays for his kids' Rice Krispies. That's like his job.
That's absolutely correct.
And does that ever affect your choices? It's like the president says, "Look, book royalties were down this year. we need you to make a mock apple pie out of Ritz crackers. That's all we can do."
We haven't quite gotten to that.
It hasn't gotten that point yet.
Okay, here's another question.
Yes.
You know how sometimes you're just in the mood for Chinese? Do they ever do takeout?
We don't do too much takeout.
He does pick up, though,
because
the president...
Burgers.
We all know the president will stop at some great place, like burger joints or the chili dog place, right? It's always cheeseburgers, chili. That is both a wonderful publicity stunt, a great way to meet the people, and a cry for help, it seems.
Hey, look, the way we look at this is if, you know, you eat balanced diets, what, you know, the first lady teaches the kids, and then you go out and have a burger, it's great.
Well, so
it just turns out that, you know, most of the time when they're going out, then they're going to get burgers.
You're from Chicago, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I partly grew up in Chicago. I just wanted to confirm this. The hot Italian beef sandwich is a vegetable, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The Al's,
just checking.
The Al's beef?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
So is the Harold's chicken.
And yeah.
There's the ribs and bibs.
Yeah, ribs and bibs.
We wanted to talk a little bit, of course, about the Healthy Foods Initiative that you've been working on with the First Lady. It's a tough challenge trying to get Americans to eat better.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of forces convincing them not to.
Well, you know, we're facing as a country some really serious challenges. First Lady's worked very hard to unite the country around the health and well-being of kids and of families. And it's going to take all of us, parents and teachers, business leaders, doctors, thinking, stepping back, what can I do, what in my role to help improve the health and well-being of our kids?
Right.
They should make chubby kids mow the White House lawn.
as punishment?
No, I mean, it's tough love, but to get in shape.
Right.
That's not cruel.
Well,
chores are normal.
Well, it's called let's move, yeah, right?
I want to be clear. We are not endorsing that policy.
All right.
Not at all.
Well, Sam Kass, we're delighted that you came to join us here today. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling
You'll Put an Eye Out.
So you're all professionally about doing things that are good for you. We are not. We're going to ask you three questions about things that are really quite bad for you. Answer two questions correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, Carl, who is Sam Kass playing for?
Sam Kass is playing for Solomon Rakebach of Potomac, Maryland.
All right, here.
All right. Let's go, Solomon.
All right. Here's your first question. Early in the 20th century, a doctor named John Brinkley became nationally famous and quite rich because of his revolutionary medical treatment. What was it? A, solving people's fear of death by locking them in a coffin for 2 days. B, solving their impotence or lack of virility by transplanting goat gonads into them. Or C, solving obesity by sewing his patients' mouths shut.
God, I hope none of those are true.
One of them is.
I mean, if it's B, did you hear what he said, what B was?
They're all nodding excitedly.
All right, I guess I'm going to go with the crowd.
Some people out there are buying. So you're going to go with B, transplanting goat gonads?
God, I hope that's not true.
Well, are you going to pick it or not?
Yeah, I'm going to pick it.
It's true. That's what he did. Dr. Brinkley was known as the gland doctor. He charged upwards of $700 for his goat gonad treatment, which he did thousands of times before the authorities finally stopped him.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
It's a pretty bad thing, but he did it for a long time.
Okay. But didn't the next person talk to the person before and say, how'd that work? I mean, wouldn't you ask?
So you'd think.
Yeah.
Who knows?
People were like, I won't check it out. It sounds good.
What were they supposed to do?
It was supposed to increase.
Oh, come now.
Increase. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. All right.
And let's leave it at that, shall we? Thank you, PJ. All right. No, two more questions. Two more questions. All right. Next question. One thing people always say is bad for you is cracking your knuckles. Well, one California scientist wanted to see if that was true. So how do you do it? A, he had his male test subjects crack their knuckles every day, and he measured how long it would be before their wives left them. B, he cracked knuckles on one of his hands, but not the other one, every day for 60 years.
Oh.
And then he evaluated if there was any difference in his hands. Or C, he painstakingly taught a dozen rhesus monkeys in his lab to crack their knuckles so he could test them.
I'm going with B.
You're with B? He cracked his own knuckles on one hand for 60 years?
Yeah.
That's right. That's what he did. Remarkable feat of scientific focus. And it turns out there's no difference in his hands, so crack away, people.
There you have it.
All right, last question. Let's see if you can go perfect. As we all know, diets can be bad for you. Which of these was a real diet that people once tried to follow? A, the Sleeping Beauty diet, where you're heavily sedated and you sleep off the pounds for several days. B, the K diet, where you're only allowed to eat foods beginning with the letter K. Or C, the Illusion diet. For $200 a week, 5 obese actors follow you everywhere and make you look thinner by comparison.
Let's go with A.
You're going to go with A, the Sleeping Beauty diet? You're right. That's what people would do. If you're asleep, you don't eat. Why not sedate yourself into a coma for a couple days? Apparently, that's one of the ways that Fat Elvis tried to become Skinny Elvis again.
Wow. Apparently.
Carl, how did Sam Kass do in our quiz?
Sam had 3 correct answers, so he wins for Solomon Rakebach.
Well done, Sam. Another success. Sam Kass is the assistant White House chef and the senior policy advisor for Healthy Food Initiative. Sam Kass, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you so much.
Have you. Sam Kass, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, I am here to say to you that I love my bread and my meat. Take a look at me and you can plainly see that I'm a man who loves to eat. So if love makes you give up steak and tomatoes.